Welcome to the On Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumpin' James Herbert. I've got two things to start the show off with.
Hit me.
First, apparently there is a difference between a coffin and a casket.
And they're shaped differently.
Yeah.
Who knew?
They're shaped differently. Although, if you look up casket in your, in my phone dictionary app, it just says a fancy coffin.
So that would mean a casket is a type of coffin.
So, like, there's a level of... Right. So there really isn't a difference. Like, a coffin can't... Or a casket can be... A casket is always a coffin, but a coffin isn't always a casket.
This is very confusing, because when I looked it up, I thought it might be the other way, because they were basically saying they, like, whatever website I clicked on.
Right, somebody sent us a link, which is... yeah, send us your coffin links.
Well, no, it was saying that a coffin is shaped a specific way, which would mean it was like a type of casket, but one shaped this way is a coffin. But apparently not. Apparently they each have their own unique shape. So this is just confusing to me.
Right.
I'm not really further along in my understanding.
If anything,
talking about it twice on
right.
the podcast now.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, yesterday's episode has, you know, really all the coffin talk you'd need from an NBA podcast. I don't like to boast, but that is, you know, that's kind of our forte. But yeah, in my Merriam-Webster dictionary phone app, it says full definition: one, a small chest or box, as for jewels, or two.
Whoa, wait a minute, wait. Hold
right,
on.
Right. That what? Threw me off. And then, or two, a usually fancy coffin.
Wait, how is that two? That should be one.
I don't know, man. I just know what Merriam-Webster tells me.
I don't know if I trust Merriam or Webster.
Yeah. So, apparently there is a level of fanciness that differentiates between a coffin and a casket.
I guess.
And then...
I don't understand these luxurious things to begin with.
I gotta be honest, I know a lot less about the mortuary world than I thought I did.
Wow, this has really been a humbling week for you.
It really has. Sometimes you get put in your place. I'm not afraid to admit that.
I'm glad you can acknowledge your deficiencies.
Right. And then number two, somebody asked for a boxing update.
Oh, yeah, I'd like a boxing update. It wasn't okay. Me that asked for it.
No, somebody on Twitter. Oh, man, I should find who it was on Twitter. He was great, too. He gave me a funny thing. Edward Stokes. He said, disappointing not to hear any updates on the boxing career. How's that going? So here's my update, which I gave to him. It's great. I'm adding round 8 to my training today.
Round 8?
Yeah, so every week I add a 3-minute round to it, which doesn't sound like a lot. You want to kill yourself and end up in a casket or a coffin once that happens.
Oh, man.
And then he responded with, good to hear. And, oh, and I'm totally with you on toast. Not that you'd value my opinion. I will update you when I hit my mid-20s, which I thought was very funny. So Edward Stokes is a lot funnier than I am. That's
listener
for sure.
of the week right there.
Yeah, listener of the week, Edward Stokes. Man, what if we started doing a listener of the week?
We just did.
Right. We did.
We just did.
Yeah. So after this podcast is posted, I'm gonna go box at an 8th round. I did hurt my toe.
Wait, hold on.
Like a week ago, boxing.
I would have thought it'd be more likely you'd hurt your finger, your hand.
You'd think, but this is like a freestanding heavy bag, right? Like punching bag. And so,
are you kickboxing?
No, I'm not. Here's the thing, I was really frustrated because, like, I was tired. I was not feeling – I wasn't feeling it. And but the nice thing about boxing is, like, when you get frustrated, like, you can kind of take that frustration out by punching hard, right?
Yeah, so, you don't like, get called for a foul.
Right, you don't get called for a foul. So I was, like, really trying to get through this. I was frustrated because I was so tired, and I was only, like, halfway through the workout. I hadn't caught my second wind yet. And so at the end of a round, like, my little – app, it's not a boxing app, don't worry, it's a workout app, it counts down like the last 4 seconds, so like you hear a beep the last 4 seconds of each set or whatever. And so I heard the beep, and so I like kind of like fired off a bunch of punches, and then I like really like cocked back and like just delivered a huge blow to this punching bag out of frustration. Well, it tipped the thing up, and it came down on my toe.
Oh, no.
So that didn't feel good. That didn't. I wouldn't say that made me less frustrated.
And that wasn't the end of your
boxing career. No, not yet. So I've learned not to. There's no joy in a haymaker at the end of the round. That's what I learned.
No. Well, I mean, there was no joy in that one.
Right. So then.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So I'm posting this. I'm boxing. And then I'm going to the DMV, which will be.
It's a full day.
Also not frustrating.
You can't just take out your frustration with punches at the DMV. Right.
Yeah. I think that's very frowned upon. All right. I want to. You don't care about American football, right?
Not really.
Okay. Did you follow any of this Cam Newton stuff? I never know how tied you are to the USA sporting world outside of the NBA. I mean,
it's not much different. Like, I mean, I'm much more tied to the American sporting world since I don't care about hockey. Like, I don't. You know, I'm on Twitter all day.
Right.
I see what's happening.
Right.
I'm aware of the Cam Newton stuff. I watched some of the Super Bowl.
I thought this quote today from him was fantastic, where he basically said, like, I'm on record of being a sore loser. He said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser, which I thought was a great line.
Wow.
I thought it was a really great line, and I think it's a great mentality. Like, I don't know that it means you have to, like, pout when you lose. I'm not a great loser. I'm a highly competitive person mm-hmm. when it comes to sports, and so you know, I wouldn't say I handle losing all that well, but I'm not out there screaming at people either. Like, I'm more mad at myself for not doing more.
Yeah.
But I just like that. I like everyone should feel like, yeah, no one should be happy with losing.
I mean, I like it. I think it's a good line. I'm not sure I totally agree with the, you show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser thing.
No, I'm in on that.
No, because I mean, I appreciate it, especially, you know, covering games. Like, you appreciate the guys who, when they screw up, will be willing to talk about it honestly.
Yeah.
Or when they lose, won't just bail on the media or whatever. You appreciate that. I think it's possible to both respect that and also understand when guys are like Cam was.
Sure.
And just pissed off and upset and just frustrated and they don't want to give you anything. Like, I think you can understand that while also being like, yeah, like, I appreciate the guys who handle it this way. And I think there is a sort of difficult line to straddle there where, I mean, I'm not going to vilify him, like, not in a million years, for being upset and being curt after that kind of demoralizing loss. But I'm also not going to go the other way and say, like, yeah, that's what you should aspire to be after you lose.
Sure.
I don't think that somehow makes you, I don't know the right word for it, but I don't really love the characterization of somebody who can, like, handle losing with grace as a loser. You know, I don't really see it that way, but it's funny. It's a good quote.
I like it. I'm all in on that. It made me, his whole post-game press conference made me realize just how bad an idea the media mix zones are.
Yeah.
Because you could, like, there is video where you can hear someone from the Broncos basically, like, saying, like, we wanted to, you know, paraphrasing here, but, like, we wanted to see, like, can you throw the ball? Can you throw? And, like, all you can hear is, like, this guy going, can you throw the ball? And, like, Cam Newton's just, like, rolling his eyes. Just,
yeah, like
completely dejected, which was, that, I mean, it's kind of fun. Like, that was actually kind of funny to me at the same time, but those media mix zones have to go.
I thought, like, because apparently there was a quote when somebody said, all we heard about this week was Cam Newton. And I saw that quote, and then later I found out that, like, that was audible to everybody.
And, like, you can really hear it.
Like, Cam heard that quote being delivered while he's up there trying to answer questions about his loss. Like, that is rough, man.
Oh, although, what if we did that for the NBA Finals? A media mix zone. So, like, last year, LeBron is really mad that they've lost, and yet at the same time, Draymond Green's just talking about how great they were and how much this means to him.
Yeah, that would have worked out great.
That would have been pretty.
Nothing could have possibly gone wrong.
No, that would have been okay. hey, speaking of losing, Yeah. The Kings keep losing, and now George Karl may be losing his job. Or, you know, sometime during this podcast, much like yesterday, we're on a George Karl watch. Sometime during this podcast, or right after it's posted, he may be fired. He's apparently going to be fired before tomorrow's game.
Just do it already.
That's the thing. Like,
either let him have his job or get rid of him. Like, this is so embarrassing. And
is this an anger thing, or is this like, we don't know what to do? Like, are you trying to draw this out because you hate George Karl, or do you not, like, or is it just really hard to pull the trigger on that move because you want it to work?
It sort of feels like the whole, like, oh, I caught you smoking a cigarette, you're going to smoke this entire pack. Like, you're just going to sit here and deal with this mess, and you're going to basically be undermined by the organization. The players, apparently, like, he's lost them. Everybody knows this is coming, right? Like, all these reports for the last couple of days have said not only, like, oh, he's on the hot seat. It's saying, like, he's going to be fired. Like, that's what they're saying.
Right.
And I can't imagine playing in that scenario. It's weird. Like, just, I mean, I think it's always a bit murky when you try to draw parallels from the NBA to, like, a normal working atmosphere, normal job, because the NBA is its own weird little cocoon. But just imagine going to your job where everybody knows that the guy who's in charge is about to be let go, but it's not official yet for whatever reason. Like, that's a weird, awkward atmosphere. And I think, you know, we talked yesterday about what Karl has done wrong, but I think more than that, this is a bad look for the organization. And if they're trying to bury it during All-Star weekend, like, and just so it's not like a huge story, and I mean, I guess they hired him during All-Star weekend last year. I just don't like that. I don't think it's really going to work.
I've got news for them. There will be a whole point on Friday where, for, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes, DeMarcus Cousins will be sitting at a table where people can go ask him questions. Like, you're not avoiding anything.
I remember being at that table last year.
Yeah.
And they kept asking about Michael Malone and Corbin and Karl. And this was back when there was speculation about how Cousins' camp didn't want Karl to come in and whatever. And Cousins just tried to say the right thing and tried to say, you know, I haven't talked to him yet, but he's a great coach. I'm sure he'll be great for us, blah, 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 blah. And a year later, a lot has changed, but a lot seems to have stayed the same. It's still chaos. It's still weird. I think this is actually unfair to Karl. I just don't like anything about this. And Rondo coming out after the game last night and saying only 3 or 4 guys were at optional shoot-around, that wasn't a great look either. I think the one thing that's been kind of missing when talking about this is that was a back-to-back. They had played on Sunday afternoon, and most teams don't necessarily have a shoot-around on a back-to-back anyway. So it's not that weird that it was optional, but it was definitely strange that it became a story and was something that Rondo directly referenced and basically called out his team for not being a part of this, maybe not being all in, or however you want to put it.
Well, that was the weird thing to me, because like, Rondo clearly says that for a reason, right?
Absolutely.
Like, and I think, I don't know how much of it is against Karl, and I don't know how much of it is against his teammates. Like, knowing Rondo, it could be both. Like, equally against Karl, equally against his teammates, just because, you know, he can kind of be that way. And it's, I don't know, like, it's not the end of the world. It does show when it's just him. I think, who was it? It was like him, Omri Caspi, and Seth Curry, right? Well, like, Omri Caspi's like one of the hardest workers on the team. Rajon Rondo is, you know, a pretty hard worker. You would like more. Like, to me, it's surprising that someone like Quincy Acey wouldn't show up to that.
Well, okay, I'm going to step in. Quincy disputed, like, on Twitter. Like, he tweeted that wasn't totally correct.
Well, Caron Butler, like, challenged Jason Jones on that, right?
Yeah. And Quincy tweeted at Jake Fisher, who had broken the news of who was there. I think it's complicated. I think maybe my theory is that a couple other people were there, but I think they probably came in at different times, and maybe that didn't quite overlap because it was optional and people could have gone in just to like get some lifting in and then gone back to the hotel or whatever.
Right.
I think there might have been more than the initial stated three or four, but I certainly don't think the whole roster was there. And I think it is reflective of something. But look, I think the main notable thing is that Rondo was the one that said it. This wasn't like reported by somebody who got a leak from somebody in the locker room. This was Rondo telling reporters directly after the game that this is a problem.
Right.
And
yeah,
you
the thing.
Believe this, that, yes, it's a problem.
Yeah, this isn't root. Like, whether you agree with Rondo or not, it's a problem with at least one person on that team.
And he's willing to own it and say it publicly.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's a good, like, it's not, this wasn't just some report that people started passing around. Like, a player came out and said it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is, yeah, it's funny, like, Kings fans obviously don't like George Karl right now. Yeah. But there's this idea that he's a bad coach. And, like, we're getting, like, a lot of revisionist history on him as a coach now of how, like, he's always had a ton of talent and it's hard to, like, not get the wins he gets without the talent. Like, I think there's probably some middle ground on this. Like, I think he's done a bad job with the Kings. I don't think he's a bad coach now.
He has an amazing resume.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's out of touch. Like, I think that team, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Like, I think that team's flawed and I think he didn't fix those flaws, which is, you know, kind of his job, or at least to hide the flaws.
Yes.
But yeah, like, at this point, I'm with you. Like, he deserves better than this.
It just feels
I think anybody does, really. Like, right? Like, we had a problem with this with Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, of course. When they, like, fired his two main assistants and just had him kind of coach in limbo.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And I don't like the idea that basically, because of timing, because of, like, perception, they're delaying this thing and making the players and the whole coaching staff come to work and try to play through this. And sometimes that kind of thing can be galvanizing, but I think that's rare. I think most of the time you see what you've seen here is you see frustration and you see guys maybe checking out. And I think it's a really difficult work environment. It's really strange. The Hornacek example is a good one. I think it's a little different because they said publicly, or McDonough said that Hornacek would have every chance to finish out the season. The Kings are obviously not going to say anything like that. And the Kings are not going to wait as long as the Suns did to can him either. Like, by any indication, it would be shocking to me if there was a change of course in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
It seems like Karl is done. And if he's done, then to me, he should be out of there. You shouldn't waste anybody's time. And that's the sort of thing where, you know, I mean, we talked about the Blatt situation and all of these firings and the Holland situation even. Like, these are two things that it's kind of – the timing was sort of perplexing, right? Especially the Blatt one was, like, shocking.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that Holland's got fired. Like, this Nets season is completely lost on me.
Well, because the Nets, it feels like they don't exist, right? Like, but I just, like, the timing seemed weird. But at the same time, it's like if the front office had decided this is not our guy, we're going to fire him at the end of the year, whatever. To me, there is some integrity in just saying, okay, we're not going to play games here. We're not going to mess around. You're done now. And we're going to move on. And we're not going to keep this charade up that you're the head coach and you have staying power when we know that you don't already. So even though we criticize that, I understand it from that point of view. It just makes me feel really uneasy about the whole situation. And like I said, even though I've been critical of Karl, I don't think he deserves this.
Hey, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Do we?
Well, not what you're thinking. The Heat are retiring Shaq's number 32 jersey.
Yeah. Hey. I mean, yeah, sure.
And he once played for the Orlando Magic, who I wanted to talk about with you yesterday.
What a segue.
But we ran out of time. So let's talk some Orlando Magic. There was a report yesterday from, I believe, Mark Stein, saying that the Magic aren't actively shopping Tobias Harris, but they're not discouraging offers either. And as many people remember, Tobias Harris re-signed with the Magic this past summer for 4 years, $64 million, something in that range. And it's kind of, it kind of made me start wondering what exactly this Magic team is right now.
Well, we've been wondering that for years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before, like, it was just kind of like, eh, this team is just a bunch of young assets. Like, that's really all it was. And now, like, this year with Skiles, and especially the first 2 months of the season, you thought, like, hey, maybe this is a playoff team, or at least, you know, fighting for a playoff team instead of just being, like, a 26-win team every year and being horrible.
And that was absolutely the hope. That was what Skiles said when he was introduced.
Right.
That was supposed to be the point, is that he has a track record of taking those teams that are rebuilding, giving them identity, and getting them over the hump.
Right. And so, what is, you know, some people have said, like, hey, this Orlando team has a lot of good players. And I thought, like, do they? I look at them in a similar light as I look at the Timberwolves. Like, obviously, they're better than the Timberwolves. But I look at it as kind of like, this team has a lot of guys who could be good. But I'm not sure how many. Like, to me, I think Nikola Vucevic is their best player, and I don't think that's a very good thing.
Well, to me, the Timberwolves have two guys that are super young but are potential franchise players, right?
Right, yeah.
And the Magic have more better players, but maybe none of them have that ceiling. To me, Aaron Gordon's the best bet to be a star, but he's maybe 4 years away, maybe 2 years away, maybe right. A year away. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. How long it's going to take for him to fill that potential, if he does indeed fill that potential. They're an interesting team, man. I mean, I like watching them. I like a lot of their players. You and I were both high on Hezonja. Saw him hit a clutch shot last night in a very strange game.
Play him
very
more.
Very strange game, yeah. But
yeah, that game was bizarre.
Yeah, but look, it's not surprising that they'd listen to trade offers for Tobias. I think they'd listen to trade offers about pretty much anybody, because as we've talked about, I think every time we talk about Orlando, their pieces are all interesting, but they don't necessarily fit. They obviously need shooting. They've tried to address that with, I mean, they got Channing Frye last year. I think the Hezonja draft pick was partially to address that. But the balance is a little weird. Peyton and Oladipo is a little bit of an awkward pairing. And we'll see. I think they might be a move or two away from just having a more balanced lineup that can be a real threat, but it's hard to know when they're going to turn that corner. And Vucevic, I think, is an interesting part of that, because he's definitely their most productive player, their most, I'd say, consistent, seasoned, reliable player. But I don't know that he's necessarily their best player, because I don't think much of him as a defender, as a paint protector.
Well, that's only because you've watched him. that's the thing, too. I think he's like an all-star, a borderline all-star big man, but I also don't really know what that means. Like he puts up really good numbers.
He does.
And I don't think they're empty numbers. Like, I don't think he's just putting up numbers because he's on a bad team. I think you put him on a good team, he would put up the same numbers. Like, I think
yeah, he's really skilled.
Yeah, he can score. He can rebound. He's a pretty decent passer, too. But he is so non-existent defensively that it really makes you wonder, like, I don't know. Like, it's like a middle management Al Jefferson. Which I don't.
Yeah, it's
you know,
the same problem.
Yeah, you know, it kind of is. Like, if they had Steve Clifford as the coach, maybe they could make that work. But I don't know how good Elfrid Payton is. Like, I really haven't been impressed with him at all.
I've been impressed with him at times. I love certain parts of his game, but the jumper needs so much work.
I mean, I don't know if this is insulting. Like, I do. Like, I wonder if he just had like a regular haircut. Would people care about him? Like, I think that's how dumb we can be about players sometimes. Like, if he had a regular haircut, would we care?
I think so.
I don't know that we would. I think we're that dumb.
I think his hair is such a contrast to the way that he plays. He's not that wild and crazy. Like, he's a really controlled point guard. He's good at getting in the paint. He's good at setting up his teammates. He's got that floater game. I think if he had a jumper, we'd all really love him.
Sure.
And the problem is he just doesn't have that. And look, I mean, there's some guys. I mean, we were talking about Lowry the other day, how it took him 4 years to get a 3-point shot. I mean, Peyton's shot is in worse shape than Lowry's was when he entered the league. But still, some guys end up developing that, some guys don't. And I think it's way too early to know when he's a year and a half into his professional career. But the Magic are at some point going to have to decide which of these young guys are part of their future. And I think Harris is an interesting name to be kind of floated out there, because I think after Vucevic, he's the other guy that, like, you pretty much know what you're getting with him.
Yeah, and I like him a lot, but if he's not hitting threes, which he's not this year, he's like 31%.
Yeah.
I don't think he matters.
I think he can still score. I think he can still help you.
Yeah, he can score, but he's not, like, his value is in being, like, a stretch four type of forward, right?
Yeah, and I think especially if you're planning on having your front court be him and Gordon for the long term, then, yeah, you need that.
I'm with you on Gordon. I love Gordon. I think he's – I don't know if I think he or Oladipo have the highest ceiling. I'm also very high on Oladipo. But the rest of them, you know, like, I think Hezonja is going to be – really good and really dangerous once.
Fournier's pretty good right now. Yeah. Like they have.
I mean, Fournier's fine. Like, he can. He's a 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which is what you need. But is that. I don't really look at that as, like, part of the core, though.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I think they have. I mean, we've heard Channing Frye's name come up in trade talks, too. I think they'll do something. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah.
Because the year is clearly not going the way that they planned it to.
Yeah, I mean, since January came, it's been a disaster. I mean, for them, some people, God, I wish I had any kind of memory, because I literally had this conversation yesterday morning on Twitter. So I'm sorry if I'm not citing the correct people here, but someone basically said, like, don't give up on this young core by moving them for, like, some veterans. And to me, it was like, I don't know if this core is something you have to keep together. Like, I like Oladipo, I like Gordon, and I like Hezonja. The rest of them, though, can be moved for veterans to, like, shore this thing up and get a better team around that core. So, yeah. Like, you know, if you move Vucevic, like, you could probably get a pretty good return, but I'm not saying move Vucevic right now. But, yeah, if you move Harris, if you move Fournier, if you move even Peyton, like, I don't think those are bad moves. I think you should try to get some guys and maybe create more of a, like, you know, like, comparing them a lot to the Charlotte Hornets today. Like, I think you try to get more of that mix of, like, veterans and youth, right? And hopefully, like, Skiles can find that right mix between veterans and youth before, you know, they get tired of him in 2 years and he gets fired.
Yeah, and that's tricky because you don't want to turn into some middling team that has a low ceiling. Right now, you can at least sell hope with these guys.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're suddenly trading, like, take an Elfrid Payton. If you decide, okay, we don't want to have him and Oladipo together. It's not going to work. It's too big of a risk, and it's holding us back right now. We're just going to trade him, and you trade him for, like, a couple of solid role players. That might help you this year. But it might help you just enough that your draft pick isn't as good and it doesn't really do much for you long term. I think there's a weird balance that every team tries to kind of find in rebuilding. And the Magic they've had some veterans all along the way. They never went full Sixers.
Yeah.
But I think even going forward, that gets trickier, especially when you put expectations on them. And I think expectations were raised a little bit this year.
Yeah.
Especially at the start of the season. I think they'll be raised again next year because the front office is tired of losing. And I think the players, guys that have been around, even Oladipo, he's nowhere near a veteran yet, but I think, I mean, he took losing really hard in his first year. And I think he's desperate to see what the playoffs are like, or to see what, like, long winning streaks are like even. And at a certain point, the word culture gets thrown around so much, but I think at a certain point, you do want some kind of culture of winning, some kind of sign of progress.
Right.
And it seemed like they had that earlier this year, and I think now it doesn't, and thus they're looking to shake things up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on Peyton. I just look at it as like, is this guy ever?
You just don't like his hair.
No, I actually love his hair. I'm trying to make sure that's not clouding my judgment. I think, because I liked him coming out of the draft, and then
me too.
Maybe it's just the pairing of him and Oladipo that I don't like together.
Yeah,
because that hasn't been very good this year. But whatever it is, like, it's just something where I've kind of, like, really softened or, you know, really gone away from, like, liking him as a prospect. And maybe that's just me being dumb. But I've been looking at it like...
I wouldn't say it's you being dumb, but it might be you being impatient because it might just take him a while.
Yeah, well, it's not
those
even...
skills that you liked when he was coming out of college, they're still there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offense is worse than I expected it to be.
Okay.
And that's the problem for me. I don't know that that's his problem, that I misjudged him on his offense. But I also look at him as like, is he definitely going to be a top 15 point guard in the league? I don't know. Some
defensively,
people are,
I'd say, yeah.
Well, yeah, but like, but yeah, like some people are probably screaming at this right now. But like, I look at him like, is he dead? Because, you know, we're going to have Jamal Murray and Chris Dunn coming in the league. Like, it's not like you're not going to have point guards keep coming into this league who are very talented.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every year we see more and more.
Right. And granted, like, some are going to fall off or whatever. But this is, you know, I like to, for Peyton to be worth it, I think he has to become like a sustainable top 15 point guard for like a 5-6 year period. I don't know that that's doable.
That's tough because there's so many good point guards.
That's the thing too. Like it's such a saturated position that at a certain point I wonder, like, should you just allocate your resources elsewhere and just have a pretty decent veteran point guard?
But then it's, do you want to sell him now when his value probably isn't that high? Like, it's
yeah.
Tough.
Oh, I'm not saying they like, have to. I'm not saying make a move by next week. I'm just talking about like what's the long term plan with this core. I don't think it's a bad idea to break it up. But yeah, don't sell for like pennies on the dollar just to get a veteran in there before the trade deadline. But maybe around the draft, like you start really reevaluating of like, hey, if we move these two guys from our core, can that either one get us a good veteran or two, you know, get us a higher draft pick so we can go get Chris Dunn or someone like that?
Yeah, and maybe it'll help to make a move and kind of solidify exactly who that core is, because I don't think that is understood. And I'd say amongst fans, I don't think that's understood. But I think even in the locker room, guys probably, and they're not dumb. Like they're aware that they're probably not going to be able to keep all of these young guys forever.
Right.
And no, Orlando technically doesn't have to make that tough decision now, but it could make their future planning a little bit easier by making a move or two. The one thing I would like to just kind of like the bright side for them is I think Gordon's ceiling is just incredibly high. And
I really think he could be like Sean Marion 2.0.
Yeah.
And I know that's been thrown around before, but like he just makes plays.
And we talk about Draymond's versatility so often, and I'm not saying he's going to turn into Draymond, but he can switch on to little guys, and he can guard like power forwards and centers. Like defensively, that versatility is there. And the playmaking is, I mean, he shows really good flashes of that, and the shooting is a little inconsistent, but I think he's going to develop that. I don't think the shot looks bad. And he's an insane athlete. I love him as a building block, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
If there's anybody that I'm committing to, is like he is definitely a part of that core, even more than Oladipo. Oladipo is obviously better, more seasoned, whatever. I love what Gordon could be, and I think he's on the way to getting there, and I think he's such a weird player. Marion was a really weird player too, so I think that comparison works, even though I don't think there's one perfect comparison for him, because I mean, he's so much bigger than Marion, right? Like, he's so much more powerful. I just think he's a different kind of guy. And he's the sort of guy that, regardless of kind of who is around him, like, he'll find a way to affect games. He'll find a way to get in there and get minutes and help a team because he brings that energy, but then he also brings that skill.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, yeah, I think, like, I don't know. I just don't know that there's this great core that can't be broken up, but definitely don't be like flipping about it and just like, all right, we'll make a trade. Like it should it should obviously build towards something.
Yeah, and they've been bad for so long that
you said they never went full Sixers. Some would argue that having Jacques Vaughn as a coach was going full Sixers.
Hey, Jacques Vaughn is back with the Spurs again.
Hey, pops a logo guy.
Yeah.
All right. There's so Woj dropped this Phil Jackson thing on us last night.
Late last night.
That I wouldn't say it put Phil in the greatest light.
It was a Woj bomb.
Yeah.
Detonated. all over Phil's office.
Yeah. I don't know. What was the big thing you took away from it? Is it the Lakers thing? Is it the Westbrook thing?
Well, those were the two like lines where you're reading it, you're saying, okay. And then like your eyes start like bulging. You're just like, whoa, okay, he went there. And the Westbrook thing, I think that's sort of a separate topic than the Knicks, because I think it's just interesting that we're speculating so far down the line.
I think it's insulting to Westbrook the way we project these things.
Why is that?
I think we make him come off as the most superficial guy. And maybe we do this a lot because of the whole big market thing, but it's like, hey, was he want to play in the glitzy Los Angeles Lakers locker room? Hey, does he want to be in the Big Apple, New York City? Like
Fashion Week.
People like Fifth Avenue. Bloomingdale's. I don't know if he'd go to Bloomingdale's, but
Westbrook likes shiny things.
Like, none of it is about basketball. Whenever we project this Russell Westbrook free agency, you're right, like, it's in 2017, like, but none of it is about basketball. None of it is basketball fit. And maybe he's just so good that he can fit into anything because he's, like, basketball will fit to him. But I really, the more I think about it, I'm just surprised we haven't come up with, like, a Westbrook to the Miami Heat. He loves South Beach. Live nightclub. Like, he'll go to the Clevelander. Topless pool. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I really think it's dumb. I really think, like, the way we were treating this Westbrook thing, and maybe this is all you can do in 2017, with 2017 as his free agency year, but I just think, like, maybe we should talk some basketball when it comes to Westbrook.
I think the only thing to really take away from that is teams are going to be planning to go after him, and just like they plan to have space to go after his teammate Kevin Durant this summer.
I'm going to have to bleep myself, but no teams are going to go after Russell Westbrook in free agency.
No, but I think, like, the only thing you can really, like, if you're talking about the Knicks situation, the only real reason that's in there is that, I mean, you can bleep me too, is that, like, in between now and 2017, the Knicks have to get their shit together.
Right.
So they can chase him. If they want to make any sort of convincing argument at all, they need to have a good coach. They need to have some sort of track record that they're improving, that they're getting better, that he can take them to the next level and not just be like, oh, we're New York. New York is great. Come to New York. Just like you're talking about with the Lakers. Hey, we have history. We have Hollywood. We have famous people here and bright lights. Come here because we are the Lakers and we play by different rules.
Well,
so I think the reason why it's relevant is that, yeah, the Knicks have painted themselves into this corner because, and this isn't even necessarily a criticism, because they decided that they want to win now. They re-signed Melo, and they signed Aflalo and Lopez last year, and they talked about going to the playoffs. And that's evidently their goal, and they're evidently firing Fisher because they've lost 9 of 10 and because the culture isn't going the right way and blah, 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 blah. If they're trying to win now, then they need to hit it big in free agency. And if that's not this summer, then it needs to be next summer. And they won't need to position themselves so they can actually make a case. And that's sort of, to me, what Woj was getting at in that story. Not necessarily that, oh, Westbrook is sitting there now thinking, maybe I'll go join the Knicks a year and a half from now.
I also think, too, like, when we're talking about the coaching situation for them, it is enticing to want to go coach Kristaps Porzingis. When you talk about a 27-year-old free agent or whatever Westbrook's going to be, going to play with a 21-year-old Kristaps Porzingis, unless he just makes unbelievable jumps in year two and year three that make him a all NBA type player right away. I don't think there are guys in their prime who are like, I want to go play with 21-year-old Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think they're looking away from that either, but I think we get a little caught up. Like, I don't think, like, if for some reason we start saying, hey, maybe Westbrook wants to go to the Timberwolves to play with Karl Anthony Towns in 2017, like, I don't think he wants to play with a 22-year-old Karl Anthony Towns. I don't think veterans who are looking for championship teams are looking for those young stars. Like, I don't think that's a thing. Like, guys, NBA players don't care about rookies. right? They don't care about young guys unless they're on their team. Like, I don't think you're hunting that out. So to sell Westbrook on New York or saying, like, hey, you get to play with Porzingis, I don't think Westbrook's like, oh, yippee. Like, I think Westbrook would be like, no, Porzingis gets to play with me. I think NBA star would be that way. So I think, like, when we're talking about why it would be good, I think a Porzingis-Westbrook combination would be awesome. But I don't think you're selling Westbrook on playing with 21-year-old Kristaps Porzingis or 22-year-old Karl-Anthony Towns or whatever.
I mean, you're selling Westbrook on, theoretically, Carmelo, Porzingis, good role players, and hopefully for them, a good coach and a good culture.
Right.
Right? That has to be the pitch, and maybe they can make some other great moves this summer to really position themselves to go after him. I don't know. And that's part of it is we're talking about this so far in advance. We have no idea what the league will look like in 5 months.
We may not even have a league anymore. We might go to slam ball. Oh, man, Westbrook and slam ball.
Porzingis and slam ball.
Yeah.
Those putbacks.
Is Pros versus Joe still a thing? Do you remember that show?
I remember it. I do not think it's still a thing.
I think the last one I watched was like a 350-pound Xavier McDaniel just bullying people in the post.
That sounds pretty good.
It was fun. I missed that show.
I'm sure they're on YouTube.
That might have also been like the same episode where John, do you know who John Rocker is?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. I still don't think you're that in tune with USA sports.
Why do you say you can just say other sports?
I don't know what you Canadians are up on.
I just watch curling every night.
John Rocker was like, remind me about curling. Rocker was on an episode of Pros vs. Joes, and there was a certain point where I was like, man, even I feel bad for John Rocker. Like, this is just sad watching him doing this.
You know what? I don't feel bad.
No, I mean, he's not a good person. He's, you know, the whole racism thing kind of gets in the way.
Uh-huh.
That's not great for him. But yeah, so I think that might have all been the same episode. There was something where there were people curling pigs that were trapped on a frozen lake.
What?
I don't think I'm making this up. I think I saw this on a news story on Twitter. This is a dream I had. No, I think people, there were like wild, like, there were like boars or something like that stuck on a frozen lake, and people essentially like curled them off the lake to save them.
When you say curled them off,
like curling, like the sport curling.
Curling is when you take like this thing they call a rock and you like kind of, it's sort of like bowling, like they throw it on the ice kind of, and they try to get it like to land near some middle thing. I can't describe the world of curling.
6 days ago, wild boar curling rescues stranded wild boars on frozen lake.
Oh my god. This sounds incredible.
This is, and I'm watching a gif of it. Like, they're just pushing it. They're just pushing this boar on this frozen lake.
That sounds...
It was in Sweden. That sounds like a Swedish thing.
Totally.
Yeah. There's a Vimeo video of it.
Please send that to me so I can watch it. Maybe link it. And
that's a good idea. All right. I don't even know if we have anything else. I'm just distracted by curling boars.
Curling boars.
Man, this thing doesn't look happy.
Phil Jackson, though.
Is it possible Jeannie Buss curls him back to the Lakers?
That's a really hot take.
All right. I'm not buying the whole, like, he's going back to the Lakers thing. Even if, like, Jim Buss is out. I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it as a thing we have to be concerned about yet. But I will say, once we get to the point where there are, like, concrete rumors or reports or whatever about a shakeup in the Lakers front office, then it's going to be unavoidable.
Yeah.
Like, they're just... I think it's the same thing with the coaching search this summer. It's like, you're not going to be able to talk about what the Knicks are looking for without mentioning what the Lakers are doing. And of course, we're just kind of assuming that Byron Scott's coaching his last season there. So assuming that's the case, yeah, I think you'll be talking about Luke Walton or whatever, and you'll be talking about both of those teams. And, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that Los Angeles front office? Who knows how much longer they're going to get? Like, in my opinion, the drafting hasn't been bad. The coaching has been.
No, you look, I mean, Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell. I didn't think Larry Nance Jr. was even close to a first round pick, and he looks, I don't know that he's good, but he looks like he could be a player.
Like, I think he could not get that pick at all, and now I'm like, they're brilliant.
Yeah, like he could be like a really good third big man for you, right?
Yeah. So I don't mind their roster outlook looking forward. The Kobe thing has obviously made this season just so strange and obviously a transition year. But I'm not sure that there absolutely needs to be a front office shakeup, but I think if we get to the point where that's being talked about, then yeah, you're going to hear Phil's name. And you were going to hear his name before this report that came out late last night, but now I think it just moves it from the back of people's minds to like, oh, it's right there. And that's not necessarily fair to Phil. That's not necessarily fair to even the Lakers and to Kupchak and Jim Buss and whatever. But if that's what people are talking about in like hushed tones, then I mean, this is what reporting is like Woj brought it to the fore. If that's being talked about, then now fans can talk about it too, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird. Has there been a better topic for the Pig Control podcast than curling wild boars?
Like, I mean, that is literally controlling pigs. That is like guiding them, corralling them.
That's the most controlled pig we've ever had on this podcast. That's for sure.
Difficult to control, but
a wild boar is difficult to control. I mean, it's got wild right in the name.
It says it right there.
I can't remember. I don't know if we have anything else to talk about. Did we have another subject we were going to talk about?
Phil, Russell,
talk
Magic,
Phil, talk about you. Yeah.
The Kings. Is anyone else getting fired?
Oh, all right. Who's the next coach to get fired?
I mean, I would be surprised if there's really anyone else in season after this seemingly inevitable Carl thing. Like, what's the point? Like, what would the candidates be? Like, Mitchell?
Mitchell's not getting replaced during the season.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
It's like who are the actual candidates? Like, the Nets have already axed their coach.
I don't think the Wizards are going to fire Randy Whitman in a year, even this disappointing year, in a year in which his brother passed away. Like, that just doesn't seem like a move anybody would really make. Alvin Gentry, maybe? Is it possible they pull the plug too soon on that?
Like, I think it's too soon.
There's nobody really. Like, Byron Scott's not going anywhere during the season.
There'd have to be some sort of scandal.
Right. I mean, that's where I come back with Mitchell. Like, unless there's an incident, yeah, Mitchell's not getting fired during the season.
Yeah. I think Carl might mark the end of firing season.
Man, what a season it's been, too.
Been way more than I thought.
Is that five coaches this
way
year?
Way more than I thought.
Because you reminded me of Hollins. It's Hollins, Hornacek, Blatt. Oh, no, McHale got fired.
Yep.
Okay, McHale. McHale, Blatt, Hornacek, Fisher, Hollins, George Karl.
We're including Karl, even though.
Yeah, I mean,
he is right now the head coach.
By the time this is up.
Of the Sacramento Kings.
By the time this is up, he'll probably be gone, and there'll probably be another wild boar stuck on a lake that needs to be controlled.
Just got to control those boars.
Would you go wild boar curling if it wasn't like a mean-spirited thing and it was to save boars stuck on a lake?
I'll save anything. If I can do my part.
Save anything?
If I can... Well, I mean, it depends how much immediate danger I'm in.
Did you see the video of that... I think it was a leopard, like, attacking a school in...
No.
I don't remember. Oh, man. Maybe it was
this also in Sweden?
No, this was like in... This might have been in India.
Okay.
I can't remember where it was. But this thing, like, I said this on Twitter, like, jungle cats and birds, you can have them. I want nothing to do with these things. This is going to shock a lot of people. Jungle cats are fast and they're powerful.
Yeah, that shocked at least two people.
At least two people. I mean, this thing is like ripping people down off fences. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send you that video as well. There was a lot going on.
Wow, this is a big day. I can't wait to watch all these videos.
It was a huge day, and it's, man, nature will get you.
Nature will get you.
Yeah.
I think that's the title of this episode.
Nature will get you. That'll go over well. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Zach.